As we begin the 10th chapter of Joshua, we see how that Israel was brought into battle with several of the kings of the land of Canaan who had united together to try to strengthen their position in defending themselves. So beginning with the first verse, "Now it came to pass, when Adonijah Zedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty." So we have the situation now with the king of Jerusalem, whose name is Adonizedek, who becomes very fearful now because of some of the events that have happened up to now. He sees where Jericho has been destroyed. He sees where Ai and, of course, Bethel was destroyed, and their kings were killed. And he sees how that Gibeon, a city just 10 miles away, and her sister cities, had made a league with the Israelites and had actually joined them and would certainly be of no benefit to the other kings of the area in helping them to defend themselves. And so this has him really excited. He says they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. They were really depending upon Gibeon to be one of their frontier cities in the defense of their country. And so Gibeon had now just capitulated. Gibeon had given up, and they had joined the other side. They were servants now to the Israelites. So this king, Adonizedek of Jerusalem, who seems to be one of the more prominent kings of the area, he's really gotten himself stirred up about this. So beginning in verse 3, we see what he plans to do. "Wherefore, Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhia, king of Lachish, and unto Debir, king of Eglon, saying." Now these are the kings that he sends to and that he makes an agreement with. They are simply kings of cities in this area of Canaan. And they're, you might say, sister countries to the area of Jerusalem. And as we mentioned earlier, this Adonizedek seems to be the predominant mover in this area. And some Bible scholars even seem to think that he might have been a descendant of Melchizedek, who was also king of Salem. And this word Adonizedek means Lord of Righteousness, whereas the name Melchizedek means King of Righteousness. And so he sent to these other kings, and verse 4 says, "Come up unto me and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel." So we see what these kings are planning to do now. They want to form a band where they can join together, and in a common united force, they can present themselves against the Israelites. And it seems that the fall of Gibeon, that is the capitulation of Gibeon, and the peace they made with Israel, that this is the thing that disturbed him more than anything else, and that's what he keeps talking about. So they want to smite Gibeon. They want to recapture this city. They want it to be continued to be used as one of their strongholds against the Israelites. So in verse 5, "Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it." So instead of attacking the Israelites, they're going to attack Gibeon. They want to take this city back. They probably feel like this is number one, the most strategic thing for them to do, because when they recapture this area, then they've got a more of a frontier there to protect themselves with. And also, they probably feel that the men of Gibeon, who've given up, who made themselves slaves to the Israelites are not going to want to fight them. And so this would be a pretty easy and prudent thing to do. Just go ahead and recapture the city of Gibeon. But we see that Gibeon now is going to make some appeal to the Israelites to help them. Verse 6, "And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, Slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us." So they appeal to Joshua for help. We're your servants. Don't neglect us. Do not slack your hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us. All these kings have united together, and they're going to make war against us. Now, you know, as we think of servitude or slavery, sometimes we just think of all the negative things and never think of any of the positive things. There are some positive things here. The owner of a slave has some very definite obligation to his slaves. He has to see that they are housed and clothed and fed. He has to see that they are protected. And so that's one of the responsibilities that Joshua has, and one of the things then that they remind Joshua of. So in verse 7, "So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor." So there, Joshua's going to go protect this the city of Gibeon and the sister cities that have made a league with them. And in verse 8, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee." So Joshua now goes from Gilgal over to Gibeon to protect these people. The five kings have united against them. And so this is probably going to be really the biggest battle that Israel has encountered up to this time. This is not a battle against just one city at a time. Here are five kings that are united in battle against them. Well, our time has run out for this time, so we're going to conclude at that point. Till next time, this is Dr. N.C. Crouch saying goodbye, friends.